Hi everyone, it's John Lawson from Asante Wealth Management and Sana Family Office here for your 2020 Q1 Portfolio Investment Review. When we look at the Canadian markets, the equity markets fell by more than 20% during the first quarter of 2020 as capital markets tried to digest the impact of an economic slowdown triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic. Oil prices also fell sharply as concerns about demand were exacerbated when Saudi Arabia flooded the market with supply in an attempt to gain market share. The Canadian oil patch was particularly hard hit as the price of Western Canadian Select oil fell below $5 US. The Canadian dollar depreciated by more than 8% against the US dollar, due in part to the weaker oil prices and the surge of demand in US government bonds. COVID-19 brought the longest bull market in the U.S. history to an end. The S&P 500 officially entered bear market territory, defined by a 20% drop from the most recent peak in early March. At the time of writing, which is early April, the U.S. is the most recent nation to see exponential increase in the cases of COVID-19. And the concerns that the late federal response combined with the inconsistent social distancing measures at the state level may make it more difficult for our southern neighbor to contain the spread of the virus. The tech sector surprised as the strongest sector in this quarter, edging out defensive sectors such as healthcare, consumer staples, and utilities. European equities fell along with the global developed markets as the rapid spread of COVID-19 led to widespread shutdowns in major nations. Italy was forced into lockdown and until recently had the highest number of confirmed deaths globally. Counterintuitively, the Chinese equities were the strongest performing quarter despite being the center of the outbreak. Strict quarantine measures have allowed the Chinese to reopen their economy for business. Foreign currencies, including Japanese yen and euro, appreciated in the quarter. These currencies tend to have safe haven qualities. Government 10-year yields made all-time lows, and government bonds have fulfilled their safe haven role by generating positive returns to offset the equity weakness. However, there were a few volatile days in the quarter when government bonds sold with risky assets. Uncertainty about the abilities of companies to meet their debt obligations caused credit spreads to rise to the highest level since the financial crisis in 2008. Central banks cut interest rates to near zero and initiated or increased asset purchasing programs and credit facilities to keep debt markets solvent. World sector returns, highlighting the sector performance of global equity markets. Defense sectors, healthcare, consumer staples, and utilities, and information technology were the strongest performers, while financials and energy were the weakest. Notably, even the sectors that performed well over the entire quarter experienced severe drawdowns over the worst period for the index from February 12th to March 23rd. This illustrates how investments can sell off in unison without regard for quality when fear permeates the equity markets. We've heard many references to the unprecedented times we are living in, referring to the social distancing, work from home, and market volatility, highlighting the largest weekly decline in the S&P 500 index starting the 1920s. The last quarter, we experienced the fourth and the 13th largest weekly declines. Now, comparing the peak to trough drawdown in the S&P 500 index that started in February 2020 to the average path of 20 previous bear markets, and a bear market is a decline of 20% or greater, going back to the 1920s, we can see that what is unique about the recent sell-off was the speed at which the markets fell off. The size of the drawdown, however, is lower than the average bear market. COVID-19 and the economic impact. The first large-scale economic shutdown in economic history has led to staggering economic figures. In the U.S., initial unemployment claims were almost 6 million for the week ended April 3rd, 2020, which is about 10 times as many as the previous record set in the 1980s. The Services Purchasing Managers Index, which are surveys designed as leading indicators for the service sector, also made new lows last quarter. Encouragingly, the Chinese PMI data has already bounced back from all-time lows, which could be an early precedent for the speed that governments can bring their economies back from a shutdown. Our asset allocation strategy. We tactically position our portfolios based on short-term elements in the markets. At any given time, our positions may change due to portfolio activity or changes in the value of our investments. During the quarter, equity prices fell precipitously, and we bought as the markets went lower to maintain a neutral weight. This is effectively dollar cost averaging into the market at lower prices. Despite the intense volatility, we remain within our range of expected returns. Within equities, it's been a challenging period for security selection, particularly for portfolios with value and small cap bias. Our positions in global bonds and growth equities helped. We also have allocations to liquid alternatives, particularly those that take both a long and short position. This gives flexibility to our management of market exposure. Within fixed income, we are underweight government bonds. Government bond yields made new all-time lows in the quarter. Government bonds are usually relied upon for downside protection, but we've started using alternative tools such as gold and foreign currency to manage risk. Gold is typically a hedge when there is a flight to safety, but it is also more attractive when fixed income yields are low or even negative. While there is a cost owning gold, the trade-off is worthwhile given the current interest rate conditions. Moreover, gold has a lot of potential upside and diversification attributes. We also bought Japanese yen, which tends to have a safe haven property in the periods of market volatilities. Lower government bond yields have impaired the total income generated by our portfolios, specifically those with conservative risk profiles. We have exposure to real assets such as real estate and infrastructure within the portfolios. These investments tend to generate attractive yields that are tied to long-lived contracts and adjusted for inflation, and have exhibited downside protection relative to the broad equity markets. We also have added corporate credit in the quarter because the spreads widened materially, which means the valuations fell, which made the total interest rates very attractive. Governments and central banks have effectively stepped in to backstop corporate debt, so we believe there is little downside at current levels. Currency exposure. The US dollar appreciated by about 8% during the quarter, and any currency hedging detracted. We started the quarter with a hedge ratio of 50% and kept it there until the end of March, at which point we increased the hedge ratio to 75%. Notably, the dynamic hedging model we follow was calling for a higher ratio when the market volatility began and the US dollar started to appreciate in February. But we used our discretion to keep the lower ratio in place. In other words, more exposure to the US dollar, because the US dollar tends to spike in times of stress. We moved back in line with the dynamic model once most of the fear in the markets had subsided. Moving forward, we are comfortable with higher hedge ratio and lower US dollar exposure because the US has been the most aggressive with its stimulus, which will increase the supply of dollars. We also added Japanese yen in the quarter. The yen is considered a safe haven currency and tends to appreciate in times of equity market volatility, as mentioned. In addition, we believe the yen would benefit from improving interest rate differentials. We anticipated the central bank would cut interest rates in response to the unfolding crisis, but Japan had already done so. I thought I would also touch on our responsible investing. CI Investments is dedicated to achieving the best possible risk-adjusted returns for our funds, and we believe that responsible investing can play a role in achieving that goal. CI Investments believes that the consideration of environmental, social and governance, also referred to as ESG factors, can help to enhance the long-term performance of our investments. CI Investments has a dedicated responsible investment team that works with our in-house portfolio managers on the incorporation of ESG factors into the investment decision-making process. The responsible investment team works collaboratively with each in-house portfolio management team to establish ESG ranking criteria for identifying companies with a high degree of ESG risk. Company examples for ESG. MasterCard was flagged by CI's responsible investment team due to its involvement in anti-competitive practices. The portfolio manager reviewed the company with the responsible investment team and determined MasterCard had a strong level of preparedness to manage related risks, including its management strategy for addressing the legal and regulatory risks associated with its global footprint. The company has a global antitrust and competition law policy that is incorporated into its code of conduct. The code is reviewed and attested to by all employees annually. In addition, MasterCard has developed a competitive intelligence guideline to inform the appropriate gathering of market intelligence. The company provides online training on the contents of its code of conduct and global antitrust and competition law policy. In-person training is also provided where needed. MasterCard is a leading ESG performer among its peers, ranking in the top decile in its software and services industry group. The company has conducted a material assessment to determine its most material issues. This demonstrates that MasterCard prioritizes all stakeholders across its business. MasterCard is making a meaningful contribution towards various United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. The Sustainable Development Goals represent a blueprint for peace and prosperity for people and the planet, now and in the future. MasterCard also has received various ESG-related awards and recognitions. Another company example, Sempra Energy. Sempra Energy was flagged by CI's responsible investment team due to its involvement in a large natural gas leak. The portfolio manager reviewed the company with the responsible investment team and has also discussed the issue with the company management. Ultimately, it was determined that Sempra had a strong commitment to addressing the issue and to strengthen its prevention processes in order to avoid repetition of similar events in the future. The company also demonstrates a commitment to sustainability. Sempra has a vision of delivering energy with purpose to improve the lives of the customers and communities it serves. As a part of this vision, Sempra has aligned aspects of its business with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Sempra has also received various ESG rewards and recognition. A third ESG company example, Prologis. Prologis is a leader in terms of its management of ESG issues in the real estate sector. The company has conducted a material assessment to determine its most material ESG issues. This demonstrates that Prologis prioritizes all stakeholders across its business. In addition to its strength at managing ESG risk across its operations, Prologis is making a meaningful contribution towards the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Prologis also has received various awards and recognition for its strong ESG performance. And that's a wrap for this quarter's review. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. And if you would like to share this with friends or colleagues, you are more than welcome to do so. Asante Sana.
Hello there, I'm Trevor Beggs from Sana Family Office, and thanks again for listening to our quarterly investment review podcast, courtesy of John Lawson. For your own enjoyment, and also to keep our legal team employed and our regulators happy, here are the necessary disclosures. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile material from reliable sources. However, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances. The opinions expressed here are not necessarily those of Asante Capital Management. Thanks again for listening, and Asante Sana.